Welcome. Welcome to the show. Yes, a little different tunes here on the Rational Revolution, but you're in the right spot. Don't worry. Hey, thank you again for joining us. This is such an honor to be able to do. If you missed last week, that was a cool episode. It was my friend and Festival Foods CEO Mark Scogan talked about what kind of makes him tick, and we stepped outside the political lines. That was really cool. It was a fascinating show, and I hope you're able to listen to it. This one's going to be freaking fascinating, too, because I've got one major baddie here who is doing some incredible, incredible, incredible things. And Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, what is up?
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I made an announcement on Friday that I am running for governor.
Yes, I was going to start off by saying, what have you been up to? Same old, nothing much.
If you want to laugh as well, it was actually my 50th birthday.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. So I guess that's a way to start out your 50s with a bang.
That is a hell of a way to celebrate your birthday. Right? Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Well, so it's like, that's amazing. And I kind of studying you a little bit, like your background is incredible. So, to before public service, I mean, some of the things that I didn't know about you, you volunteered for the Peace Corps, World Health Organization, got your master's at Johns Hopkins University. That school doesn't suck. Oh my God, you've done some amazing things. Why get into public service now?
So it's interesting. I do feel like service has always been part of my life, whether that is as a Peace Corps volunteer. I currently volunteer as my daughter's Girl Scout troop leader.
Oh my
God. I volunteer at our local Humane Society, even as Lieutenant Governor. But I had a long, long years of service in my career, particularly within public health, but politics was never part of the plan. Honestly, it was not. But when COVID hit in 2019, 2020, I was very frustrated with our legislature. They didn't meet for 8 months. They didn't talk to each other. They were not giving guidance when people were really worried. And that's when I saw this broken system. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring my clinical background. I'm a nurse by background. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the CDC. So I did outbreak investigations nationally, internationally. I'm going to bring that to the legislature. And so I ran for office and flipped a district from red to blue. I actually live in Waukesha County, so a pretty red county. And then I served in the assembly for 2 years. And then after that, I ended up running for lieutenant governor and then won with Governor Evers this last election cycle. And I've been grateful to be able to have the microphone that I have to talk about things that are important to me. And that's accessible, affordable healthcare, that's making sure people's housing costs are affordable, that people have access to childcare, and if they have access to it, they can actually afford it, and working with our union brothers and sisters to be able to restore their bargaining rights in Wisconsin, which is, it's been a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we know that that's going to lift wages for everybody all across the state.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it absolutely will. My grandpa was a bargainer for WEAC way back in the day. So, yeah, I mean, that's,
there you go.
Yeah. And like, so talk about that COVID thing, because, know, I think that was such a powder keg that was waiting to go off. I mean, we had so much turmoil with the Trump administration. And then all of a sudden, like, it was interesting how all of the lies and the misinformation and alternate facts and all of that, that can kind of work. But then when you're faced with something where you need facts, like a pandemic, and where facts matter, and it's gone, there is chaos. Talk about what that was like. You were in healthcare.
Yeah, it was chaos. And a lot of times people within the healthcare profession were getting blamed for it. You know, we had a lot of violence within our hospital systems and in our clinics against our nurses, against our doctors, because people were listening to some of this misinformation and disinformation and then blaming it on their doctors and nurses if they suggested getting vaccinated. You know, I'm an old public health nurse. I've been working in healthcare and public health for a really, really long time. Vaccines are one of the greatest interventions ever done, across public health, across healthcare. And it is really disappointing to see people foster fear within communities, then they don't get vaccinated. And then we have the risk of disability. We have the risk of death for people who are vulnerable. And what I like to tell people is that we vaccinate to be able to protect each other.
Right.
So my mom, she's 80 years old. She lives with me, right?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool, actually. And, you know, as we get older, our immune systems don't work as well. Just like when we're babies, our immune systems don't work as well. And so I get my family vaccinated to make sure that we can protect her better. She gets vaccinated too, but if we all make that circle around her, she's gonna do better than if we don't.
So how was that? Talk about the decision to make that first run for office. What did you just sit down at the kitchen table with your family and be like, all right, here's what I want to do. What was that like?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. So I sat down with my family. I sat down with my mom. So my mom has been living with me for quite a while. She actually has lived with me for over 10 years wow. because my dad had gotten Alzheimer's really early. Oh, and so, when we moved back to Wisconsin, I knew we were going to need some help. And so I offered to have them live with me, and he actually lived with me until he passed away.
Oh, wow.
And then she still lives with me now, but I did. I talked to my husband. I talked to my two kids. I've got two kids. They're now 16 and 18. I can't believe I have an adult child.
It goes so fast. It's not fair.
It goes so
oh my
fast.
God.
He can't bring the cups from his room down to the kitchen. Yet now he's a grown person and an adult, and he's supposed to make his own decisions. But
right. Yeah.
That's another way. But we did. Uh-huh. We make decisions as a family because it's a family decision. And so we talked to them and said, hey, this is what I want to do. It's going to open up our lives a little bit more to scrutiny. Are you guys okay with that? And they were excited and supportive. They stuffed envelopes for me. They did all the things that would be helpful. And this run as well. But my husband could not be more supportive, and my kids are really super supportive too. So it's been an exciting week since
yeah.
I've announced, and just it hasn't been a week. I think it's been 6 days. And
yep.
a lot of support coming out, a lot, and I think that's just it's just wonderful to be able to see that.
So you were in the assembly, ran for lieutenant governor after one term.
After one term,
how
yeah.
I'm interested to hear how that was like. I mean, was there anyone that was like, gasp, how dare you? You know, you this is wait your turn, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Was
you know,
there any of that?
I don't think so much. I mean,
that's good.
There may have been a little of it because I had been new on the political scene, but I'm not new just generally in terms of professionally. So
yeah.
I've been an executive outside of politics. I was an executive at a large healthcare system. Yeah. I was an executive at a Fortune 100 company. So I brought those skills with me to be able to work within the administration. I think they've been helpful. And I had tried to create as good of relationships as I could within the caucuses on the Democratic side and on the Republican side as well. And it's always challenging across the aisle. But you know, I think that when you feel like you can bring something to the table, when you are listening to constituents, to Wisconsinites, and you want to be able to implement things that are just going to make their lives just a little bit easier, we don't want to wait for that, right?
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're raising our hand and we're getting in the muck and we're going to get it done. And I'm ready to work. Lace up my shoes, get ready to work, get stuff done.
So then you get elected as lieutenant governor. I wonder, you know, that would be like a surreal thing. Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
We're here. Like,
yeah.
And you know, there's been some amazing women trailblazers that have done that as well. I don't think have we had a woman governor?
Never had a woman
so
governor.
So that would be an awesome ceiling to break through. How was that in being lieutenant governor?
It was surreal, especially initially. And so I am the fourth woman lieutenant governor. We've had two Democrats and two Republicans be lieutenant governor since founding of the state in 1848. We have not had a female governor, but I would argue don't vote for me because I'm female. Vote for me because I'm the most qualified. And I'm the one
yeah.
that's going to be able to lead the state where we want it to go. But it was a transformative experience to become lieutenant governor and to be responsible administratively across the state, to travel all across all 72 counties. I've done every year as lieutenant governor and will continue to do that. And it, you know, it does take me away from my family sometimes, but again, they're teenagers. And so when I come home, I usually turn the Wi-Fi off so that they come out of their rooms to talk to me.
Nice.
And
that's a good
It's a very good trick. And I've always told my staff that if I can get home at night, just to be able to check in with everybody, even if it's late and I have to get up early in the morning, that's what I want to do. And so I've been truly committed to making sure that I touch base with my family, with my friends, that I stay grounded in what's going on around me, because it can be easy to only be listening to people who think like you. So trying to make sure that I'm keeping those relationships and having those conversations.
I think that's, you know, I mean, in your resume and the stuff that you've done, being in like high leadership in some huge companies. Well, and people don't realize, you know, the size of Apple is like the size of Wisconsin. You know, I mean, the economy of Wisconsin is massive. All the states are huge. And so like having that experience, I think, to bring to the leadership team of, you know, Wisconsin Inc. Is a really big deal too. You know, it's good to have people that have political experience, but it's also really, really good if you can have some practical real world experience outside of, because politics can be a bubble too.
It can be. Yeah, it can be a bubble. And I've noted that's one of the things that, you know, surprised me a little bit about politics is, as a, you know, as an executive within companies, I had to often work with people who didn't agree with me. And we would sit around the table and we would try to get things moving and we would talk about what the issues were and what their concerns were, what mine were, how we could work together. And I was hoping for a little bit of that bipartisanship when I came into the assembly. Unfortunately, that is not really how the assembly and Senate work in that way, which was disappointing. But I know that when I talk to people across the state, they are exhausted with the partisanship, exhausted. They just want us to work for Wisconsin. They just want us to put policies into place. They don't care whether it's a Democratic policy or a Republican policy. They want us to put policies in place that just work for people, that help working families. And that's what I am going to try to do. But I'm going to fight for those policies that Democrats have always supported, which are union rights, making sure that we're fully funding our public schools, expanding Medicaid so we can bring dollars back to Wisconsin, being able to put dollars into our childcare system. Gosh, I mean, it is so expensive to be able to have childcare in Wisconsin, if you can find it, you can find it.
Yeah, it's horrifically hard. And I think, we're going to, there's so many challenges that we have. And we're going to keep talking about this with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the other side of the break. She's going to tell us where are we as a state, and then we're going to talk about where we're going. So stick around on the Rational Revolution. You got me, Mark Becker, and you've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We'll be right back.